In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. In preparing for this morning's sermon, I was, I don't know how I got started thinking about this, but I was thinking about what I think is one of the greatest inventions of my lifetime, and it's not the cell phone. And those of you who are my age or older, you're going to really appreciate this, but it's automatic windshield washer fluid. Right? Because if you were driving, you know, since the 70s or earlier, there was a time when that didn't exist. And it was really a drag if you lived in the places where there was snow in the wintertime, because in order to get all of the salt and everything off your windshield, you'd have to kind of reach out your car, hope that there was some accumulated snow on your hood, throw it on the windshield, and turn on your wipers. So whoever invented that, I'm very grateful. Because it's so great, right? Even just around here, you might get a little film on your window, you hit the washer fluid, it comes right off. If you live in the southeast, say Florida, and you're driving down the road, and there's about 50 pounds of bugs on your windshield, and you hit that windshield wiper, it just comes right off. It feels good to be able to see what's going on. Well, if it feels so good just to have your windshield clean, imagine how the blind man must have felt when Jesus opened his eyes. He'd been blind his entire life, and now he sees. Hey, God bless you. What a change that must have been for him. And thinking about him receiving his eyesight again, thinking about us, the way we use our eyes and try to see out the windshield and whatever else we do, we're reminded that this is a sensory world in which we live. And this gospel reading, which is always appointed on the next to last Sunday before Pentecost, reminds us of that. We live in a world that's full of beauty, and God made our senses so that we could enjoy that beauty. And this morning, I want to delve a little bit into theology, hopefully in not a way that's too painful, and talk about Orthodox Christianity and our senses. And one of the reasons I really wanted to preach this is I just got done with a very beautiful little book called Concerning Frequent Confession by St. Nicodemus of the Holy Mountain. And by the way, the answer to that question is yes. So when it says concerning frequent communion, the answer is yes. But in the prologue to that book, he talks about mankind being endowed not with five senses, but with 10 senses. There are five physical senses. We're all familiar with those, I hope. Sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. But then he describes five senses of the mind, if you will, of the soul, we could say. And we're going to talk about the eyes of the soul a good bit this morning. But these senses of the soul he describes as our intelligence, our reason, our judgment, our imagination, and our consciousness. Intelligence, intellect, obviously, we know what that is, and we know that we can use our intellect for good and for bad. We can think of beautiful things, we can think of awful things, and create horrible things with our intellect. Reason, working things out logically. And again, our reason can be abused because we can convince ourselves with our misplaced reason that we can get away with anything if we just justify it in our own minds. Judgment is self-explanatory, and we know how we can exercise good judgment, how we can exercise poor judgment. Imagination. Imagination's made it possible for us to have things like windshield wiper fluid, but imagination is also something that can lead us into very dark places within our own minds. And something called consciousness, which is self-awareness. Only we human beings here on this earth have this capacity to understand that we exist. We are self-aware. We know that there's a beginning and an end to us. And that self-awareness is a very important thing and should be used good in a good way. But that self-consciousness and self-awareness can also make us self-obsessed. So just like our sight, just like our taste, just like our touch, they can be used for God's glory or can be abused. So can our intellectual our intellectual senses be abused as well. But they can and should also be used for God's glory. And if we're going to use our senses for God's glory, then we need to remember that the control of our senses, the control of our behavior, resides in a place called the nous, which we've talked about in sermons before, but the nous, loosely translated, is the eyes of our soul. Sometimes we talk about the nous as the mind. Now here's what St. Nicodemus says. The nous was placed in the soul by God like an eye, and like a king, encircled by the four general and universal virtues, namely prudence, courage, restraint, and righteousness. Prudence, knowing right from wrong, and courage, obviously, restraint, and then righteousness, doing what is good and godly. And he continues, in order that the intellect by these four virtues might rule the whole man, these virtues are begotten by the three aspects of the nous, which are a bit like a second Holy Trinity. Well, that's a lot. We're going to come up for air in just a second. But what he's saying is that at the center of our being is this thing called the nous, the eyes of our soul. And if we exercise and use the eyes of our soul clearly, if we see clearly with the eyes of our soul, then we can be prudent and courageous and exercise restraint and be righteous. Now these three virtues are begotten by three aspects of the nous, which are a bit like a second Holy Trinity. What's he talking about? What are the three aspects of the eyes of our soul? And here they are. There's some technical terms, we'll use them just once. There is the rational aspect, which causes us to think about good things. There's what is called the insensitive aspect. And the insensitive aspect is something that it causes us to act against passions, act against demons. And the appetitive aspect of our soul is that part of us that longs to be with God, that loves God. So he divides our soul and the eyes of our soul into three components. The part that thinks about good things, the part that wars against evil, and the part that longs for God. Now, a sermon like this deserves a little bit of a break, so we'll take a break and let some of those things digest and sink in. We're talking about getting the eyes of our soul right. And that's why we come to church every Sunday. That's why we pray. That's why we live as Christians. But think about this. If this happened to you, then you know what I'm talking about. So you reach middle age and you discover that, actually this probably only happened to me, but you discover that at the resurrection service you can't read any of the text in the dark light. So you go to the doctor and find out not only do you need reading glasses, but you need bifocals. And the amazing thing about getting bifocals in middle age is you put them on and you realize that the trees have leaves again. There's a detail. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And that's our goal. That's what we want to have happen to us, is we want to be able to see the detail of God's beauty around us by getting the eyes of our soul just right and just so. Now back to the sermon. Today's miracle, this healing of the blind man, is really a glimpse into the fullness of the entire ministry of redemption that Jesus Christ offers. He's come and he does restore the sight of the blind man, but he does that to remind us that he's here to restore everything about ourselves, all of our senses, our intellectual senses, all of our senses, our physical senses, but most especially he's come to open the eyes of our soul, to make them clear again. He opens the eyes of our soul because he knows what has happened to them. They're dull. They're weak. They're obscured. This man was born blind. In a way, we are born blind spiritually, at least born with poor vision, because we live in a fallen world. And this fallen world is a place where it is easier to do what's wrong than to do what's right. The eyes of my soul and your soul are naturally, because of this ugly world of ours, they're naturally clouded. And to make matters worse, we just keep throwing mud on our own eyes sometimes, don't we? And we look at the wrong things and read the wrong things. With our intellectual senses, we think about the wrong things. We imagine the wrong things. And the eyes of our soul get more and more and more obscured. In the gospel reading, there's the question, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And of course, Jesus says, this is just so God's glory can be manifest. But you could ask the question about me and about, I think, every human being in the world. Who sinned that you are blind, that the eyes of your soul are so obscured? Who sinned? The answer is, I did. We did. The more we sin, the more we obscure the eyes of our soul. And so I suppose you could, in a way, without trivializing things, think about this life in Christ of ours as the capacity to reach over and pull back that little lever and put some windshield washer on the eyes of your soul and see things again more clearly. But continuing the metaphor, Jesus isn't a squeegee man. Now, the squeegee man actually was invented after the windshield wiper fluid was, and I don't know why. That was a wasted invention, except that it was a way for people to harass us in big cities. So you'd stop at a stoplight, and some guy would run up and put junk on your window and squeegee it, and then demand money. It's like, hey, you know, I've got windshield washer fluid right here in the car. You don't have to do that. And thank goodness that's fallen out of vogue. I'm glad. But the point is this. Jesus is not going to rush up to any one of us and say, hey, clean up the eyes of your soul. Not going to happen. We have to come to him. We have to seek him out. But when we do seek him out, we realize that we have discovered the way to make our senses right, to turn them in the right direction. We discovered that we have now the capacity to open the eyes, not only our physical eyes, but open our spiritual eyes and see this beautiful world that God has made for us. To have clarity, to have clear understanding about how we are supposed to make judgments, how we are supposed to be prudent. All of the beautiful and wonderful things that Saint Nicodemus of the Holy Mountain writes about in this very brief prologue to his book concerning frequent communion. Now, I had written one conclusion for this sermon, but then it dawned on me that everything that we're talking about this morning is captured quite perfectly in the hymnology of our church. In fact, this was read this morning during Orthros, or Matins, as part of the service. And I think it's a good way of tying all of this together as we go home and we try to chew on a little bit of our Orthodox theology and then apply it to our lives. Here is what was read. In the eyes of soul have I become unseen. Unseeing, not unseen, but unseeing. In the eyes of soul have I become unseeing. Unto you I come, O Christ, as did of old the man born blind. And in repentance I cry to you, for those in darkness, you are the most resplendent light. Amen.